The rush for electrifying cars is here. We have so many startups such as Lucid, Rivian, Fisker, Polestar, and NIO, along with existing companies such as Hyundai, Volvo, Audi, Ford, and Toyota. Well, maybe not Toyota, but these companies are creating more and more electric cars with an overall goal of achieving fast charging and long-range battery. But what if that's the wrong approach? Hello everybody and welcome to today's episode of Vic the Random. I'm your host, Vikram Devaru, and recently I read an article on how other countries have been ramping up with electric, not two-wheelers, not four-wheelers, but three-wheelers, or actually, somewhat two-wheelers. And how also in the United States, electric cars are becoming less appealing and aren't selling as well. So, in today's episode, I'm going to dissect those articles and explain them all in simple terms. But first, we must have joke time. What do you call a person who lost his car? Carlos. Car lost. What car does Yoda drive? A Toyota. What about cooks? A Chevrolet. A snake. And then a Honda. Okay, anyways. Let's begin. Let's start with why electric cars aren't so appealing. And there are mainly three reasons why. The mileage, the charging, and the cost. If we start with mileage, electric cars just simply don't have as much mileage as gasoline cars. A standard gasoline car, such as the Kia Forte, gives around 400 miles of range. A similar electric car, such as the Tesla Model 3, only provides around 200 miles of range. That's half as much. With autopilot directions and the air conditioning on, that range decreases even more. In fact, people who own electric cars often have something known as range anxiety. This is when you fear that even though the car states that you can drive 100 miles, your car will die before you reach your destination. That because you are playing the music, because you're using the navigation, your car will die when you've only driven 50 miles or 80 miles. Now, my family owns an electric car, and we constantly think of the battery before driving anywhere. With a gasoline-powered car, such as our gas car, we often don't even think about the amount of fuel in the gas, because we're like, eh, it's okay. We'll just fill it up at the nearest gas station. We'll be fine. Because even though, like I just said, if the tank of the gasoline car shows that it's empty, we know we can still make it to the nearest gas station, because there's just so many gas stations. However, with our electric car, then we don't have that much mileage, and B, the electric car charging network is still very amateur. It's very large now, but it's not as large as the gasoline network, and there are still zones on the road where there are no superchargers. Zero. Which means that when you drive on a road trip, you must make sure your car is charged. Think about the charge. And you must also plan ahead. Think about the charge. And ensure that your car will have enough battery, think about the charge, to make it from one supercharger to another. You're constantly thinking about the charge, the battery of the car. And, you know, mapping like this has improved, where the Tesla right now will tell you, oh hey, if you're going to this destination, you're gonna need a supercharging stop midway through. And that is good. It'll calculate your route such that you will stop at superchargers along the way. However, you still have range anxiety, because the navigation takes up a lot of battery, and you're most likely, when you go on a road trip, you're enjoying the music, you're having the AC blowing in your face, and with all those stuff, your range won't last as long as the Tesla says it was. And especially with those long tracks and brakes without superchargers, you can get really nervous. Alright, let's go to reason number two on why people aren't buying electric cars. Charge. Right now, it takes about 30 minutes to charge an electric car to its maximum. In a road trip across America, these charging stops could add almost 12 hours to the trip. That's a lot. In addition, like I mentioned before, the charging network isn't the best. Right now, we charge our electric car during the night so that we have a full charge in the morning. But we are privileged to have a charger in our house. And many people here don't live in houses and instead live in apartments or townhouses. They don't have a garage, so how will they charge their car? Unless they have a really long extension cable that they can route from inside their car to outside, they just can't charge their Tesla overnight. And driving to the nearest supercharger and filling it up for waiting 30 minutes just isn't as convenient as driving a gas car and filling it up in 2 minutes. And the final reason people aren't buying is the cost. Electric cars are very, very, very expensive. Oh, and did I mention the cost? A Toyota Corolla Hybrid costs about $23,000, while a Tesla Model 3 can cost $15,900 more, at the cost of $38,900. And even though you will save money later on, as you save tremendously for gas bills and you also get federal tax credit, many people don't take that as an incentive, especially for low-income families, because it's more about the upfront payment than for the potential savings. Plus, an electric car, especially for families that drive around from one city to another, can be extremely inconvenient and use up an additional 30 minutes and 1 hour of time in their day. Now, the question is, how do we solve these problems? Because when there's a problem and you really want to make your society better, you should solve it. We should work together to solve it. And while I was reading the newspaper, I saw this problem and I'm like, what can we do about it? And me and my dad talked about it and I'm about to share it with you. And this music means that I'm going to share it with you after the break. Ooh, we have lots of guitar and chill music today. Hello everybody and welcome to the Random Fact Generator. Today's random fact is, did you know that there are 3,782 emojis? They were first created in the year 1999 as a way to help with communication on your phone. At first there were only 197, but as you can see, that number has steadily grown. There are also multiple types of emoji. You can make emoji with literally just your keys on your keyboard, making like some cute little faces with them. So, very cool. Anyways. Alright, now let's see and think about some possible ways to solve one of these problems. And while I was reading the newspaper last Sunday, I thought to myself and I saw a possible solution to the most of the problems above. And you see, in Nairobi, the capital of Kenya, the majority of taxis there are motorcycles and not cars. Each motorcycle will have a battery inside that is easily removable. When the battery on the car is low, instead of having to drive to a charging station and wait half an hour to charge the battery, taxi drivers instead head to one of 72 swapped stations and, like the name suggests, swap. Swap what? Swap the battery. This means that you can swap your battery in roughly 2 minutes, about the same time it takes to fill a gas car. Plus, you just pay one flat fee of, say, $10 when you replace the battery and charge your car. This is 2 minutes is about the same time it takes to charge a gas car, which means it is very efficient. However, there are a couple of problems with this swap station. And me and my dad thought of them and discussed of them, and if you want to try and think about the problems yourself, go ahead. So, problem number one is, how many batteries will a swap station need if it is to never run out of batteries? Because if the swap stations are to become a thing and become widely populated, cars are going to be driving in and out all the time. And how many batteries will it need to make sure that no car will go away without a battery? If you want to pause here and think for yourself, you can think about it. So, all right. For simplicity, let's say it takes about 2 minutes to swap and each battery takes 30 minutes to charge. And only one vehicle is allowed to swap in a swap station at any given time. When the first vehicle arrives at time is equal to zero, it'll swap a charged battery for an empty one. It'll swap its empty battery for a charged battery in the swap station. Let's call the empty battery battery number one. Now when the swap is late done, 2 minutes later, another car will come and swap its battery. After 30 minutes, we will be able to haul 15 cars because each car takes 2 minutes to swap. 30 divided by 2 is 15. So after 30 minutes, 15 cars will come to get their battery swapped. Now, at this time, the first battery, battery number 1, will be fully charged. And the 16th car will come to charge and grab the battery, the new swap. The 16th car will come to grab battery number 1. And just as the swap is completed at 32 minutes, battery number 2 will be swapped. And then the battery number 3. And once it becomes 60 minutes, back to battery number one. So we need a minimum of 15 batteries. Let's stock the swap station with 20 for safe measures. Now, the only problem with the swap station is they involve fast chargers, very, very fast chargers. And the problem with fast chargers is the faster you charge a battery, the less and the faster it will deplete. For example, say there's a road connecting two towns. As cars drive past these two towns on that road, the road will become worn out. The road will start to get broken down and will need to be replaced. The faster the cars drive on that road, the earlier the road needs to be replaced. Because the faster the cars go, the more gravel it'll kick up and it'll slowly dig into the tires and the road. So in a similar way, the faster you charge the battery, the more the battery will die down and it won't be able to hold as much charge. Like the road won't be able to hold as many cars. So anyways, the question was, what if charge station number A, my charge station, has a good health battery, a new battery? Then a taxi driver comes, takes it away, and goes to charge station number B, my dad's charge station. Now my dad has my good battery, the battery that I'd paid for. Now, the taxi driver goes to my dad's charge station or swap station and swaps my good battery for my dad's bad battery. My dad has very bad and very old batteries. Then the taxi driver goes along on his business and comes back to my swap station to swap his battery. Now, I am going to get my dad's bad battery. I use my money to pay for a good new battery. But then a taxi driver took it away and gave it to my enemy. Now my dad has the good battery and he didn't pay a single cent for it. And I'm stuck with the bad one. Another way to visualize this is say, me and you, we both own a Sharpie. I just bought myself a good and new Sharpie. And you have a bad Sharpie. One of my friends borrows a Sharpie from me and then gives my good Sharpie to you. Then my friend realizes that, oh wait, I need to return my Sharpie to my friend. So my friend takes your Sharpie, your bad Sharpie, and gives it to me. Now you have a good Sharpie and I have a bad Sharpie and I need to buy another Sharpie. And I was the one that bought the new Sharpie, but you still benefited off of it because of the person who borrowed it. So how do we solve this problem? You can pause here and think about it if you want to think about a way to solve it. Our solution? Have one company that owns all of the batteries. That company will put the battery in your car when it's made, when it's created. And that new battery, no matter which swap station you go to, you will always be swapping the battery with the same company. It's saying, I own my Sharpie and I own my dad's Sharpie, my sister's Sharpie, I own your Sharpie, I own everybody's Sharpie. That way, I will be able to get all the profits for the trade. For example, if my friend comes to borrow a Sharpie from me, then he goes to you, he takes your bad Sharpie and gives it to me. Then it won't bother me as much because I still own that good Sharpie. It's still mine. I didn't give it away to somebody else. And I still have the good Sharpie and I don't lose any money. The same thing goes with the swap station. If one company owns all the batteries, then no matter which swap station you go to, you'll always be swapping the battery with the same company. And just as long as the company keeps on replacing the batteries and customers keep on coming to swap the batteries will be fine and the cars will be good. However, like always, there is one slight problem with this. And it has something to do with having only one company. Think about it, and I'll share my thoughts about it next week in my next episode. See you then! Here's a hint. It has something to do with the world's longest board game that starts with an M and ends with a Y. Credits! Lots of guitar in the music. Anyways, this episode was created and directed by Vikram Devaru. Music was made on GarageBand by Vikram Devaru. That's me! The script and cover art was made by me, Vikram Dave Rue, and all of the information was coming from my brain and the New York Times article that I read. I read the article on Sunday, December 10th. It is called Tiny Electric Vehicles and Pack a Bigger Climate Punch Than Cars. That's Tiny Electric Vehicles Pack a Bigger Climate Punch Than Cars. And thank you to my dad for having that amazing conversation with me as well. None of this would have happened. Oh yeah, and sorry I published this episode a bit late. I planned the movie night last night for my school and wasn't able to record it then. So now I'm recording it now and publishing it now. Sorry for the late publish. And thank you for listening. If you are listening all the way to the end, thank you very, very much. I'll give you a sneak peek into what next week's episode is, and it has something to do with what I do every week and how I do what I do every week and how I publish it. Oh, well, that gave it away. That kind of gave it away. But basically, it's how I make my podcast. Thank you for listening. Do, 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 do.